Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, yo, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along. Oh, sing along.
Woo! Oh, yeah, yeah. Lift every voice and sing. Till it in heaven rain. Rain with the heart.
Stop me! Enough. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. It is so good to be black, and it's so good to be proud. It is so good to be part of the human race here. But being black is part of that race. I was thinking about something Dr. Newton said last week when I was telling her about someone talking about, well, we mixed up with everybody else. She said, no, everybody else is mixed up with us. And you take it that way and turn it that way, you got a whole nother attitude, because we are the makers and the giver of life. I am so glad to be back here with you this second Saturday. You know, this is starting my seventh year at VON. Seventh is a number that's sacred, you know, and we have to talk about that one day. Believe it or not, it's my seventh year in October to be my seventh year being here at VON. And we're very excited to have been here, to be talking to you and just trying to bring you some knowledge. And really some stuff in terms of our people, so we can have hope, as I begin to spread that message of hope, and also to keep not just hope alive, but to really the spirit of Dr. King and what we need to do. So this is 7 years. I just want y'all to think about that. That's 7 years. But anyway, we got Professor James Small is going to come on with us at 6:45. I'm going to bring him on 15 minutes early, and we're going to have him on, and we're going to just kind of talk about, because what I'm trying to do is reset what we have to do for the year 2014 as we move forward. Because if we don't, believe it or not, we are in trouble, as Dr. Anderson said. So I'm trying to give us another, as Dr. Finney said, perspective, but another direction in terms of what we need to be doing, how we need to be moving, and not being afraid to do what we must do, and how we have to do what we have to do. So that's kind of what we have been trying to figure out with you here, because we do have to. I want you to tell me where your snow, where your street plow is a mess, huh? We back to the days when we were second. That is not equality. You can say what you want to, but I rode around the city, and there are certain neighborhoods you can go anywhere you want to, and there are other neighborhoods you got to be skating and sliding. Something to think about as we move toward 2016, and we just move, period. I mean, are you satisfied with the unequal treatment and inequality of services and stuff that's going on in the city? We have to look at what's going on here. We're sitting with your eyes closed. I know I talked to Mark Wallace. He and I are going to go tour the city together. Then I told him we're going to get a bus together and take some of y'all around the city, so y'all can really begin to see what the city really looked like. I mean, you're on your little block and just with your neighbors, and you really don't understand what's going on here with our communities are. Their communities, you know, when over the weekend somebody shot the cable man while he was in the while he was doing cable, he was on a break, and somebody came up and shot him. But they made sure they said it was in the South Shore neighborhood. I told you that's because that's the neighborhood they want very bad now. So you'll see a step up of crime over there. They said food desert. You'll see more of that. And what I don't understand, you have a lot of activists that live in that community. Why are they just sitting by and allowing it to happen and not saying anything when the handwriting's in the wall, on the wall? I think Mayor Mitchell live over there. Quite a few people live over there in that area. But how do you just know the pattern and let them run that pattern because they want the water? Dorothy Perrineau, know I'm dealing with facts. We were the only group of people in this country that lived by a body of water from the north to the south, and now it's getting cut off everywhere. You also saw the presidential library discussed again. I told you I felt they were going to have it in Pullman. I told you that last year, early part of last year. So the other day they had in the paper Pullman, it had Michael Reese in there. So we'll see just what they're going to do with it and how it's going to affect the community, because they really, until people see us as a community, as Dr. Anderson said, and not a neighborhood or somebody just step over and move over, then we're going to always get pushed behind. I was watching on one of the television stations the other night, One More River. I rewatched that the night before last. Thursday night, and I really just got an illness. I was just, to just watch that, and then to look at Dr. King and knowing him and looking at his face and looking at how he was committed to give up the ghost, knowing what was going on. So I'm going to try and get Jim Lawson and Diane Nash on with me next week to talk about where we are as a people. Since his death, since Lawson was one of the men who invited Dr. King to Memphis, Reverend Lawson's been... he's been involved in the civil rights movement for a long time. So, I mean, if I can get he and Diane Nash on at one time, and we just kind of have a roundtable discussion about where we need to go and where we are, what did all that struggle mean, and what do we have to do here? And one of the things that was interesting as I was watching it, when I saw those young people just coming out of the schools, moving and marching. And it kind of threw me back to the days when that's how we were. We were at a battle, you know, we were fighting. Not fighting and killing ourselves, but fighting the power structure for equality for our people. And then I saw this one young man, one of the ones who was responsible for throwing the rocks that created the riot. I'm like, well, Dr. King, were they coming out here to have equality with us? We're not going to be taking this. We're not here for that. You know, and really all in all, and Dr. King was invited down there. But all in all, he was kind of responsible for all that violence that happened. And when this government want to take your leadership out, they have to first try to discredit your leadership. They try to turn the people against your leadership. Because if you notice, we're leading up to Dr. King's birthday on Thursday. That's why I'm talking about some of this. But... you know, there was a group of black leaders who said, Martin, you ought to stay out of Vietnam and stick with civil rights. And then you had all these so-called black power people talking about, we ain't for that. We want black power. And how do you define black power? You got to define it economically, be equal to sit down at the table. And they were, and a lot of folks was really into that movement, but some was just there to divert because of all of the changes we were making in this country on behalf of black people. And when Dr. King talked about going to the Poor People's Campaign, pulling together to go to Washington, they were upset. They didn't want the Poor People's Campaign. And he wasn't talking about no one day. You know, everybody had emulated him for a day. Dr. King said, we're going to go to Washington, and we're going to stay there. And they were frightened to death to have that. When we have Diane, if I can get her on next week, we're going to talk about even the March in Washington. When they had that, when Bevel and all of them was trying, John Lewis and Bevel and all of them was planning on going to Washington to stay, and it got diverted by having a march in Washington. So there's a it's evident if you look at since Dr. King was murdered, and you look at where we are today as we celebrate his birthday. His birthday is actually on the 15th, but we celebrate his birthday next week. Where we are as a people, where we were before he got involved in this struggle a long time ago, and how we moved and progressed to where we were moving to before Dr. King was murdered and where we are now. Well, you have young people who just can't accept anything, not all young, I don't want to paint a brush. And they just want some stuff. Anybody to tell them, oh, yeah, that's this. That's cool. Well, what's cool? You know, when everything's getting taken away from you. And we got our youth are not engaged and like they can be. There are some that are, but not like massively like they can be across this country. So if you look at the disengagement of the youth by this government, the disengagement of our ministers, because when I saw One More River to Cross and I saw all those black ministers leading and talking about black people and what we're not going to take, I saw that. And then I was listening to the music that was in there. I must say that this federal government have successfully, and they successfully disengaged or destroyed our movement, and they re-engineered the minds of our people. As James has turned some of our people into something I don't even recognize. But they really said, okay, we'll give you this, and with a long plan of it, we won't let you be equal partners. Or we won't let you have community. No, we won't even let you have your culture or anything, and we can wait it out. And then what we're going to do, and we're going to take it back, we're going to slowly move on you and all that, and then we're going to give you the 1-2-3 punch. And that's what they... That's what this government have done, along with those other people who government adhere to. They feed the mess and they keep the people fighting about who is this and what's that, when it's really to their advantage to keep the descendants of enslaved Africans in America from thinking who we are, where we have to go, and what we have to do. They keep us in that. We are not. Well, you're not mainstream. Mainstream into what? You get into a stream, you just flow with everything else, and you just get washed out. And nobody else is talking that. I was watching the award shows, and I was watching, and I'm steadily watching the top 10, top 20, and we used to be turning out hits every day. You don't see that anymore. You know, if you want to hear some real music, you got to switch back and get what we made. And our children, my grandchildren, listen to these other kids singing and dancing because they don't have what we had in terms of music. And music is such a spiritual thing with us. It wasn't just something to do. That's why they call it soul, because it was our spirit. The music, we sang, we danced. See, that's what got us through slavery, singing, through the Civil Rights Movement, singing and being connected to our ancestors. If you look at Africa or anywhere in diaspora, you will see that music, the drums, all of that. As Dr. Newton said last week, that during slavery they banned the drums because blacks would automatically just get just high off of the music. So when you look at all of those elements, and I don't care where your station is in life right now, if you black, it don't mean nothing. What you say, don't mean a thing if you ain't got that twang, whatever. You have to have a base, and you have to have a foundation. You have to have that. VON have to always have that structure and that base of the black community, because they don't have the structure and the base of the black community. There's no need, because everybody else got theirs, and they're moving. But when they mainstream the dollars to advertise and say and we said, well, we don't need you, we over there in orientation radio, the radio is oriented toward blacks, or we into the minority. So then you have a station like a VON, and stations around the country, a lot of black stations have closed Over the last 5 or 6 years, more black folks have shut down than ever. The radio station has closed in the last 5 or 6 years. I'm going to get that data for you. Because, you know, I had Cherry on, who had a string of stations down in Florida. He was on doing the campaign when he was saying that blacks wasn't getting any money for commercials. And the Hispanics and others was getting all the money. He was saying it was unfair. But since then, he was like the third generation in the media. They still have, I think, maybe one of their papers, one or two of their papers, but their radio station has been gone. And their newspapers are almost but gone. If you look at it, you think about the Crusader, you think about Garth paper, the Defender, you think about the Bulletin, think about all of our papers, the Austin, all of our papers are black in the black community here in Chicago. You don't see them or you don't read them. It's natural for us to read them. I remember the Defender was just come out once a week, and they call themselves the largest pictorial paper in the nation. And we waited for that paper to tell our stories in pictures. But during the Mollison struggle, when the parents was going to jail and fighting every day, and we was being covered, they had Dylan Terry was there, and then Cheetah came. And they had to cover us, so that meant the Defender had to go daily. And because of the Mollison parent and our struggle and the civil struggle for equality education, the Defender went daily. And people would get those stories and read the Defender to see what was going on. But now the Defender is back to once a week. Once a week. So when you look at the Defender, the Crusade, and all of that, we need our communication. And you look at the papers around the country. I remember Napa was talking about they wasn't getting any in money to advertise. That money was there, but there was no advertisement in the black newspaper doing their campaigns. And now other people have taken on that same attitude, saying that, well, if the president advertises, we don't have to either. My friend told me in Florida that he now have less advertisement than he ever had before. And why am I? I'm just saying all that to you to say, take away your communication, take away your music, your ministry, your people. And there's a strategic strategy. You now try to make South Shore feel like it is just awful. They're killing up everybody. They're doing this. It's a food desert. The same language. So the people who are stable, they run away. So now then they got the rest of the lake from downtown all the way to this new thing that Ron Emanuel unveiled. The interesting thing is here people say, well, you know, we can't do nothing about Rom because, see, after all, he won every black war. And black people need to stop saying that because you have a defeative attitude. You need to say he won 23% of the registered voters. And out of that 23% of the registered voters, he won the black wars with a very small amount because people didn't vote. But he won that too. That's different than making yourself think that he just won everything. And, you know, we have to just be careful with that. So that's what we're moving we're going to try to do this next few months, hopefully, to get ourselves in a space and place so we can spark something here nationally. And it's really for our children. It's not have nothing to do with us. I was talking to some of the older people my age and saying, well, they're just trying to wait us out, those of us who know, as we're wrestling with our other people trying to get them to do and to move forward. They're waiting us all out to just go while they're still working toward their plan and working out things for their future. And our leadership got kind of selfishly and not our churches working for themselves individually. You know, it's just a lot of things that's kind of got us. So I think that it can happen. Based off in our spirituality have got to come back. Because when you got spirit, certain things just don't bother you. You know, you're able to move on in spite of because you know you're God's child. So we're going to have James on, and I want y'all to wake everybody up. Professor Small is going to come on at 6:45. So you wake everybody up, and we're going to be talking to him. And we're just going to kind of be moving around it. But if you want to call in and talk about your streets or anything like that, you can do that too for the next half hour. You listen to Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. This is Dorothy Wright Teal with Coffee Tea and a Conversation with Me at the great station WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We are on blackplanet.com. We're on Blog Talk. Just type in coffee tea, and you'll get me on Blog Talk, or just type in the show, or you can type in and listen now if you want to. We're on iHeartRadio, Facebook, and Group Facebook, and anything else that you want to be on. But whatever you do, wake up everybody and tell them wake up, because we're going to have Professor Small, and it's up to you. This is Dorothy Wright Tim on Coffee Tea and a Conversation with Me right here in Chicago, Illinois. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
My family has a history of heart disease. Can I still get a health plan?
Of course, and it covers cholesterol screenings, physicals, nutrition counseling, and more.
Whew, that's a relief.
Yeah, stress isn't good for the heart. Get started at GetCoveredIllinois.gov.
I'm 28, totally healthy. Why do I need health insurance?
You play pickup basketball, right?
Yeah.
A broken ankle could cost you 18 grand.
Really?
So don't break your ankle.
That's my plan.
Or find a better one. Start at GetCoveredIllinois.gov.
Mozart knows these are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you'll realize how impactful your kids with Mozart in the air can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality.
When they learn to play the music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life. But it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch. Go to a park or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short. But the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We got the camera on, that's got to be an F4.
No, man, now, pull over, that's an F5. Go, I want to get there.
Oh, that photo class getting bigger by the second. That twister is huge.
Whoa, what was that?
It's the National Guard. They're probably headed into town.
Man, I bet that place is in trouble.
The National Guard is a unique force. Citizen soldiers who are just as prepared and committed to do battle with nature here at home in our communities as they are against the enemies of our nation. These are your neighbors, men and women who work or go to college, have families, hobbies, live life to the fullest. They train part-time, close to home, and they are always ready.
More of them! Man, those guys are crazy heading into that stuff!
Hey, that's what the guard does!
Do you have what it takes to head into the heart of the storm? Check out NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Illinois National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
I was facing foreclosure, and they guaranteed they would get my loan modified.
I paid them a fee and never heard from them again.
Anyone can be a victim of a loan modification scam, but you don't have to be. Know the signs. Get the facts. Visit www.loanscamalert.org. For trusted government-approved help and to report a scam, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673.
And now we have an 8-year-old on the line. Welcome to Our World Today. What's your question?
Our continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that 71% is comprised of water. Man automatically adapts to environmental conditions. So why do I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. Brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
I want to change some things.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life: education, income, and health.
I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalk.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
For millions of children, childhood is little more than trips to the doctor, weeks in bed, and missed play dates, missed everything. They suffer from PI, primary immunodeficiency, a defect of the immune system that causes children to be sick over and over again. Identifying patterns in your child's health problems could lead to early detection of PI, which can lead to something else: a normal life for your child and you. The Jeffrey Modell Foundation. Visit us at info4pi.org or call 866-INFO-4PI.
I can help the next customer over here.
Oh, thank you. Hi.
Wow, that's a lot of books. Let's see. How to keep your child safe. Child-proofing your home. Child-proofing your yard. Child-proofing your in-laws' home and yard. Well, I'm guessing you have a little one at home.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like you must take good care of her.
Oh, thank you.
Now, let's see. Parents Guide to Safe Toys. That's a really good one. Parents Guide to Safe Foods. Parents Guide to Safe Safety Products. Parents Guide to Parenting Guides. Don't Throw the Baby Out with the Bathwater and other safety tips.
Of all the things you can read about keeping your child safe, the most important is attached to the back of their car seat. Read the instruction manual and learn to use the latch system. It makes it easier to be sure your child's car seat is installed correctly.
Parents Guide to Telling Other Parents How to Raise Their Kids.
To learn more, go to safercar.gov. Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Hey parents, do kids think you're out of touch because of the way you dress?
Yeah.
Well, say hello to instant style with Fashion On. Just spray Fashion On whatever you're wearing and look cool in an instant. Turn orthopedic shoes into vintage high tops. Pleated khakis into skinny jeans. Even clip-on ties become fly gold chains. Just spray, let it dry, and presto.
What about my fanny pack?
You mean your hip MP3 player?
Wow.
What about my bifocals?
You mean your hot pink shutter shades?
Hey, I can't see.
But your kids can see you, and trust me, they see fashion.
Thanks, Fashion On.
Fashion On is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Working with someone else. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud.
out to, you tough enough. Let everybody tell you, you're not. Are you tough enough? Everybody know how tough you are, but you. Good morning, y'all. Wake up. It's such a beautiful morning. I was telling somebody, y'all, yesterday, they was complaining about the rain. I said, well, last week you was complaining about the freeze. Come on, y'all, wake up. Nature, God is part of all of that, part of all mankind, y'all. Wake up. Talk of Chicago, 1690. WVON, our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're on blackplanet.com. We're on iHeartRadio. You know, you can listen. I know a lot of you are listening to me on iHeart right now. You also can listen on Blog Talk. Just type in Coffee Tea. Dorothy Tillman, you should get it as you listen. And you can also go back to different shows. I have I bought my time with Blog Talk. Jimmy has Jimmy Lee Underground Blog Talk, so I bought some time from him to be on the Blog Talk. So I have my own little time on there if you want to listen on Blog Talk. That's what you can listen to that. Or if whatever you want to do, you can listen and we can just get ready here. I talked about a lot of things earlier that I was concerned about. In terms of our schools, our communities, I'm concerned about South Shore, very concerned about South Shore, because I told you to follow the bullets. You follow the bullets, you follow the communities, now all of a sudden Plano is a food desert and they got shooting all the time. I mean, South Shore, and you got shooting all the time. So you have all of this stuff going on. In that community they won't take. Now, you just look at our communities. We are strong. We are strength. We can't, you know, it was interesting. TV One used to do, Radio One used to have pictures everywhere. I see black people. Y'all might not remember those signs. It was all over the place. After the president got elected, they kind of moved it. Nobody see black people now. Nobody see black people. I was listening at WTTW, and they were talking about the mayor's approval rating was 50% among Chicagoans. Then they separated it and said that among African Americans, real low. Well, aren't we part of Chicago? You understand? They try to sort of dilute you, make you think we're not. The same way it was, I tell you, during the election. We were very important. We played a very important role in the reelection of our president in all those major cities, but they would not tell you that. They said, you got the gays, Hispanic, got everybody but black people. Quinn would not be governor. Alvarez would not be the state's attorney. You wouldn't have Lisa Madigan, anybody. Nobody can do anything in this city without black people. But they play you down in the delusion. Well, if we do this and stick together, you do stick together. You just put your money in the wrong place. And you come up bankrupt. The other day, I want to commend Alderman Sawyer for complaining and being out talking about the streets and the salt, because our streets look bad. But what got to me is you had a couple of aldermen who wanted to be anonymous. How in the hell do you be anonymous when you're out talking about what's going on in your community, in your ward? I mean, I wish the reporter would tell us what ward they were talking about. How do you talk to a reporter? Well, I want to talk, but I'm off the record. I'm anonymous. You're an elected official. You're equal in this government. Why you got to be anonymous to talk about something going on in your community? That just blew me away. It just blew me all the way out. I don't know. The power is in you. You have got the power. I might play that later by y'all. You have got the power right there in your hand. You know, I might really play that. But later on, but you got the powers in our hands. They want us to think that our numbers are down. They want us to think that we can't mobilize, we can't organize. And we are coming up on the anniversary of Dr. King's birthday. And all these people are going to be out here celebrating, oh, Dr. King was a good old soul. Well, how good are you? And what are you doing? I mean, I can't stand these commemorations and stuff. I'm glad we're having them for the young folks, but were they going to put that I had a dream stuff in people's head again? And they just going to keep deluding while they move against us. It's war been declared on us, I done told y'all. So what I'm going to do is take a few phone calls in. I'm going to get Professor Small on the phone, Ebony, in a few minutes to see if he's ready. We're going to have Professor Small on because we're going to talk to him and give him another few minutes before you get him, Ebony, because he needs a few more minutes. But I'm going to have him on the phone, and we're going to get into this whole thing about where we need to be going, because some of us are going to get together real quietly and look at what we can do here. We got to do something. We got to do something. Plano, how you doing this morning?
Black.
Black.
Miss Tim, you know, you started 2014. We come in with some of the same issues we talked about 2013. How do these aldermen, Miss Tillman, be anonymous? And
I can't believe it. Did you see them be anonymous? I never heard Oliver be anonymous.
Well, Sister Tim, I'm really running out of words. I really don't know what really to say now. I really don't know how they stone creek this city where, I mean, everybody just, I mean, don't want to stand up for their wars. I mean, I wish, like I told you last year, I wish we had 50 aldermen like you. I wish we did. And go down to City Hall and bombard City Hall and tell them how long, not long, because enough is enough.
Well, like black like the fish should not be afraid to speak up for anything relating what's good for black people, and because that's who their base is, and they got them, you know. And not only that, not just the black elected officials, all these white elected officials, and these other ones are in office because of black people too. Anybody that we put behind, we have a right to have the resources. That's including this mayor.
Well, Alderman Tillman, what about this upcoming red man? I'm hearing Chico running again. We don't have no candidate again to run. It's going to be the same old thing again.
I don't know what's going to happen here, but I have faith, and we're going to see what's going to go on here. And maybe we can have some kind of just one day, one of my shows, the whole show dedicated to politics. We'll see, okay? Thank you. Thanks, Plano.
Okay, Sister Tim. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Minister Plump?
Yes, black.
All the way, no cream. Thank you, I'm fine.
Yes, good. I just wanted to reflect on the fact of what we can do, and hopefully you can be one of our grand marshals in doing that this year and promoting Mayor Harold Washington's birthday.
Well, you know, Minister Plump, all you have to do when you want me to do something, you just talk to Ebony, she'd be on the phone. When she answers that phone, she does my scheduling, you know. But,
okay.
And Mayor Washington's birthday is April. Right now we're getting ready to get ready for Dr.
April
King's 13th, birthday.
April 2014, mm-hmm. You know, and this is the overflow year to promote, you know, help stop the violence, robbing, stealing, and killing, and jobs, and entrepreneurship for a better relationship. That's what Mayor Washington did, you know. He established
He opened the city up to everybody. He opened it up and now it's closed. How are your streets looking? How your street looking, Mr. Plump? How your side street looking?
Oh, well, I'm thankful. You know, we're still in the land of living. I got a broken toe right now. But the family and business associates and friends, we all steady, moving positive, progressive, and professionally.
Okay.
In terms of
I just want to know how was the snow doing?
People's reflection on peace, love, and unity in the community.
Okay, thank you, Minister Plump. Ebony, you got to get Professor Small on the phone for me. Janice?
Hey, thank you, Ms. Tim. I'll make mine quick, short, and precise.
I started to leave you to ask Professor Small, but I thought you wanted to come on before then.
Oh, I did. I said, yeah, I'll make mine quick so you can get on. Mm-hmm. I get the Hispanic paper called Extra, Ms. Tillman. They have three coupons in there. The Defender only had one. I buy the Defender. Mm-hmm. This Extra is free. Why can't we get those same coupons in our papers?
What coupons they got?
Huh?
What coupons they got?
I can hear you, Ms. Tillman.
Because you got your radio on.
No. It's in another room.
Well, I can hear. That's what you got.
Oh, okay.
Delayed,
I'm in the living room.
Yeah, when you delay sometime, yeah. So what kind of coupons they have, Janice?
They have a separate one that's in Spanish from Colgate. They have Johnson & Johnson, which had free sanitary napkins. You buy one for free. And then they got another one in here. And they're all in Spanish. And well, the one for Procter & Gamble is in Spanish.
Well, that's because they want to reach the Spanish community. That's why it's in Spanish.
I know, but I'm saying, why can't we have coupons in our papers like the Courier? Now, Roland Martin was the one that got them into the Fender because they never used to be in the Fender. And I did call.
Oh, you want to know why aren't they advertising with the black newspapers?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, Napa, you know, all our people got to get militant and fight, Janice. We can't sit back and just wonder. We all, I know Napa was fighting once and they got to fight again. That's a national.
Well, I write letters, but I'm saying one person's not going to make a difference. We've got to get, like maybe, I know Miss Spann had on Cooper, Spann, Van Cooper. She had on Henry Hartman and people like that, but Miss
Hermine Hartman.
Like,
mm-hmm.
At one time we could speak to the leadership, but now we can't.
I wonder who the leaderships are. Thanks, Janice.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Anita, I'm finna go with Professor Small. You want to hold on?
No, that's okay. I'll go on and say what I need to say.
I gotta go with Small. Put Anita back on hold.
Okay. All right, yeah, I'll hold on.
Okay. Let's see. Do we have Professor Small on? Well, let me go to Anita then. Anita, that's all right. Come on, I'll go with you.
Okay. I just want to say this real quick. Last week I was watching the news, and they were saying that they were going
to
give this girl
try
from
to sell.
India.
Mm-hmm. You were watching the news, what?
The Nobel Peace Prize, because she
got shot in the head.
Pardon me?
The one that got shot in the head.
Yeah, and now she's promoting education as if the girls that was raped at 14 years old haven't struggled for 500 years over here in this country, you know, to get an education so that they could be a single parent to take care of their children. So I'm like, well, how did they miss the whole black experience over here?
Well, and let me tell you, people miss the black experience because we sit back and talk about it instead of being proactive. We have got to be willing. As Dr. King said, if you ain't willing to die for something, you ain't fit to live. And right now, we got to get black folks out of the scared attitude so that we can begin to move toward fighting for whatever we got to do here, Anita. We got to fight education for our babies. Because they shot us up. But because they killed us, Anita, we have to still move. You kill us just like in the war. They don't stop wars because somebody get killed. They keep moving, right?
You say about keep moving.
I said when they're in a war, you're in a war, you go to war for this country, any country. When they kill a platoon, they don't stop. They keep moving, right? You kill a general or somebody, they keep fighting, right?
I mean, you know, we have battle fatigue, too. So, I mean, you know, they have worn us out. We haven't had a let up in so many years, you know. Not to excuse not to keep going, but still, how did America miss the African Americans' experience over here and give it to someone in India? And those women have had husbands all these years, so I don't understand why they couldn't get an education.
Well, did you say you used to be with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
Pardon me?
You used to be the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, right?
I never followed Elijah Muhammad because he was deceased when I came into the community.
Oh, okay.
Like 4 years after he passed, but my first husband went to school right there in Chicago with Elijah Muhammad, so all of the teaching went into him. And he had a 14-year-old mother.
Okay.
And he paid his way through college and took care of all of my children, and all of my children were honor students in school. So I want that experience of freedom to be resonated and not someone that's been sitting up with a husband for all these generations and then acting like education all of a sudden is important for women.
Okay, Anita, thank you so much. Thank you. I'm going to try and get a few minutes in with Professor Small before we go on break. We got to go on break in 5 minutes. Good morning, Professor Small.
Good morning, Sister Tillman. How are you?
I'm fine. How's the weather up there? I understand y'all snowed in, huh?
Not as bad as you are. it's bad.
Yeah.
But not as bad as Chicago.
Well, we 40 degrees a day almost. The water's melting. But anyway, God is good, whatever. We have to do what we got to do. So I had Dr. Newton last week, a professor, and one of the things I'm going to try and do these next few months is really bring people on like you and Dr. Newton. Next week I'm going to try to have Diane and Jim Lawson, some of them, so we can begin to at least give our people a perspective and a direction in terms of some of the most important things that we might need to be doing and going through and getting ready to do. If not, we're going to be kind of wiped out. And I kind of touched on I said our minister, our music, and our youth, our spirituality, and all of our stuff. What we got to do to give our people so they don't be giving up and feeling like it's all over. It's not all over. So I just really wanted, this is going to be your classroom this morning, and I just wanted to give you, we got 3 or 4 minutes before break to give them a preview what we're going to be talking about when we come back from top of the break. So welcome to Coffee Tea and Conversation with me.
Thank you. My throat is a little bad. You know, I just got back from Africa 2 weeks ago into this cold.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling the return.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the sister before was saying that we are battle fatigue. That's not an excuse to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You fight until you are no more.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to have an attitude like that, you have to have a belief like that.
Okay.
And in order to have a belief like that, you've got to know your history, because our people never cried battle fatigue. When they walked with Dr. King, they didn't cry battle fatigue. When they were walking back in the 40s, they think the civil rights movement started in the 60s. It started the day we got out of slavery, you know, and we was fighting, building schools, building banks, building credit unions, building whole communities. That's what Black Wall Street was all about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Rosewood in Florida was all about. That's what Wilmington in North Carolina was all about. These were Black communities, other Black communities in the Midwest that we built from the ground up, coming out of slavery after 300 years, and we wasn't battle fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And we ain't had no marriage and no husbands according to the white man laws then.
Mm-hmm. And now they got our people thinking that we all in trouble because most of the babies is coming don't have fathers.
Correct. And we were having babies then. He was getting us pregnant when we were 10 and 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to do is turn our eyes backwards and look with respect.
Mm-hmm.
Look with respect upon those ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Look with respect upon the work they did.
Mm-hmm.
Look with respect upon the sacrifice they made, and be able to do the same thing to show respect.
Okay, James.
Yes.
Professor Small, I want you to hold there. My engineer telling me I
got to
take a break. You listen, Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON, Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Blog Talk, Facebook group, Facebook, Twitter, and blackplanet.com. Wake your friends up. Tell them that we have the great Professor Small on with us, and we'll be right back after the break. Be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview.
Yeah.
And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Illinois National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
The iHeartRadio Network has over 800 stations on it. But there's only one urban talker. Your WVON. Download the iHeartRadio app and take us everywhere you go. The Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation is 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
NBC News Radio, I'm Kristen Welker at the White House. Former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has died. He had been in a coma for 8 years after suffering a stroke in 2006. Earlier this week, the hospital said he was losing kidney function and other organs were also failing. Sharon was 85. The number of people whose credit card numbers were stolen from Target stores is much, much worse than first thought. The store now says another 70 million people appear to have had information stolen. And as we hear now from NBC's Kristen Dahlgren, not just credit card numbers.
That information may include phone numbers, emails, names, addresses. That, of course, raises fears of complete identity theft. Add that to the 40 million already reported, and as many as 110 million people may be affected. Target is offering free credit monitoring. Experts say if you fear you're one of those affected, take it and watch your accounts very closely.
This is NBC News Radio. Americans planning to attend the Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia, have been warned to be vigilant about their security. NBC senior foreign correspondent Richard Engel says the State Department issued the alert yesterday.
The main concern, obviously, is terrorists, specifically someone coming from the North Caucasus. And over the new year, there were two bombings that put this country on alert. U.S. officials tell us they are not overwhelmingly concerned about the Olympic venues themselves, but concerned that something could happen at a train station or a transport hub.
And Justin Bieber is facing more charges from another vandalism claim. His neighbor in Los Angeles says Bieber threw eggs at his house. L.A. County Sheriff's deputies say that charge could reach felony status if detectives determine that damage is more costly. He was charged with vandalism in Brazil last November for spray painting a hotel wall. He agreed to pay a fine in that incident. I'm Kristen Welker, NBC News Radio.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a 100% risk-free million-bottle giveaway with free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts. Try Proactive with no financial risk by giving us a call at 1-800-756-0357, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive 100% risk-free. Get two free extras plus free shipping when you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive. You'll receive a 60-day trial 100% risk-free, plus two free extras and free shipping. Call 1-800-756-0357. There's no financial risk. Get your 100% risk-free trial giveaway of Proactive, including two free extras and free shipping. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-756-0357. That's 1-800-756-0357.
Hi, this is Jocelyn Garcia. I was a dropout, a statistic, one of the over 50% of Chicago's West and Southside teens that had given up on high school and felt like high school had given up on me. At 17, I thought it was too late for me to graduate with a high school diploma. Then a friend told me about Westtown Academy. She said that it was different. The classes were smaller, the teachers and mentors all knew her name, that she felt safe there. I called the next week and applied. I met the admissions requirements. I had to be between 17 and 21, have at least 4 high school credits, live in Chicago, and be able to read and do math at a 7th grade level. A year and a half after I entered Westtown Academy, I graduated with honors. Now I am enrolled in college with a psychology major and a Spanish minor, and I tell everyone I can about Westtown Academy. Don't give up on yourself. Westtown Academy won't give up on you.
Westtown Academy is currently enrolling for the winter semester. Call and apply today at 312-563-9044 or at westtownacademy.org. They're also on Facebook. That's 312-563-9044 or westtownacademy.org.
Cut!
Hey, it's Demi Lovato.
And I'm Joe Jonas.
There is so much in the world to celebrate. The movies have their night to honor the best of film.
The finest athletes compete for the podium.
Musicians have their time to shine. But how do we honor the kids who are making a difference?
With We Day, filling stadiums around the world to celebrate the good that young people do.
Follow We Day on Twitter and Facebook.
With each follow, school supplies will be given to a child overseas.
We Day.
Join the movement.
We Day!
I've got two spirited boys. Can I get a health plan that covers visits to the ER?
Yep, and checkups, and vaccines, and dental.
Like if they bang heads and knock a tooth out?
Or if one just has a cavity?
Right.
Get started at GetCoveredIllinois.gov.
Somebody tell me why I have to buy health insurance.
You don't.
But won't I get fined?
Yeah, but if you get in an accident, you could be out 50 grand.
Is that bigger than the fine?
About 537 times bigger.
Oh.
Yeah. Get started at GetCoveredIllinois.gov.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON, you're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Dorothy Tillman on Chicago's legendary WVON, the talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
Let our rejoice.
that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of new days, Jesus, let us march on till victory is won. Stony the road.
Difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I don't mind. He allowed me. Dr. King said he allowed me. He didn't say I just went. God allowed him to go to that mountaintop, that spiritual mountaintop, and look over and to see. And when Dr. King said I saw the promised land, he wasn't talking about no pie in the sky. And Dr. King, naiveness, he could not understand in his mind phantom that if we opened doors for black people, they would not pull black folks in. And that's what he saw. He saw, and he was willing to give up the ghost and give up his blood. Dr. King, I saw a One More River the other night, and I saw Dr. King, and I saw the whole look in his face, which I'll talk about later. You know, his birthday is Thursday. The 15th, they'll be celebrating the next week, but we'll talk about that later. But we had a great warrior to pass, and we just want to play excerpts of him. You do know that we have Professor Small on the phone teaching this morning, so wake your folks up and sit around the radio or iPhone or www.wvon.com, iHeartRadio or 773-591-1690. You can also be on Blog Talk, type in Coffee Tea, conversation with me. You can also go on Facebook, and you'll get a chance to hear him teach this morning. He's going to certainly be teaching this morning. We're so happy to have him back, and he came back safe from Africa. He just got back from Ghana. But before we go there, I'm going to play an excerpt from a very dear friend of mine, Noma Baraka. We call him Mama Baraka. Is it ready? Is not ready? I don't know what Ebony's saying over there, but anyway, we're going to play a little excerpt of him. My nephew Nguvu, Saidi Nguvu, was part of Imam Kayu Tower, and I remember when he was up there, and he was building. He was pretty deep. We usually do the black moment of black, but I'm not gonna do black this morning. What we're gonna do, the most black that you can think of, Imam Baraka, Leroy Jones, for some of you.
Budida, 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 bit di di di, budi budi, boo boo boo. What I want is me, for real. I want me and myself, and what that is what I be and what I see and feel, and who is me and the what it is and who it is and when it me is what it be. I'm going to be here if I want, like I said, self-determination. But I ain't come from a foolish tribe. We wants the mule, the land. You can make it 300 years of blue chip stock in the entire operation. We want to be paid in a central bank, the average worker, farmer wage for all those years we gave it free. Plus, we want damages for all the killings and the fraud, the lynchings, the missing justice, the lies and frame-ups, the unwarranted jailings, the tar and featherings, the character and race assassinations, historical slander, ugly caricatures. For every Sambo, step and fetch it flick, we want to be paid. For every hurtful thing
thing you did or said, for all the land you took, for all the rapes, all the rosewoods and black Wall Street you destroyed, all the miseducation, jobs lost, segregated shacks we lived in, the disease that ate and killed us, for all the mad police that drilled us, for all the music and dances you stole, the styles, the language, the hip clothes you copped, the careers you stopped, all these are suits. Specific litigation as represent we, be like we for reparations for damages paid to the Afro-American nation. Boo-dee-da, boo-dee-da, boo-dee-da. We want education for all of us and anyone else in the black pelt hurt by slavery, for all the native peoples, even them poor white people you show all the time is funny, all them Abners and Daisy Mays, them Beverly Hillbillies who never got to know Beverly Hills, who never got to Harvard on their grandfather's wills. We want reparations for them, right on, for the Mexicans whose land you stole, for all of North Mexico, you call it Texas, Arizona, California, New Mexico, Colorado, all that, all that, all that, all that. Be-dee-da, doo-doo. Bap, 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 bap.
That's what I call real rapping, y'all. You want to hear some rapping? That's real rapping, huh, Jay? Jay, don't tell me. They said take the ministers, the music, and the youth. They got us, right? Our culture. Imam Baraka, great man. Did you like that? It went right into what you were talking about, didn't it?
Yeah, culture is the foundation of all people. A people without a culture has committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Well,
and culture isn't just dancing and music. The mm-hmm. center of your culture is what you think is your God.
Mm-hmm.
The center of your culture is your family. The center of your culture is your grandparents and your great-grandparents and what they taught. That's who makes up. Mm-hmm. If you forget them, mm-hmm. if you think there's someone more important than them other than God, then you've lost your way.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All people look to their heritage. All people look to the experiences of their parents and grandparents and great parents to determine who they are.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
you look to the parents of those who were trying to kill your grandparents, then you will try to kill yourself.
That makes sense to me.
You understand that?
I'm clear. Go on, teach, professor.
If you look to the ones who robbed your grandparents, then you will rob yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on.
Uh-huh.
We're looking towards the European American community because it's frightened us into thinking they are our parents.
Uh-huh.
Yet they don't behave as parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as real as that. For any black person to tell me they don't have a role model, I want to know what planet they're living on.
That's true.
And I hear white folks and TV shows and black educators constantly talking about black kids need role models.
Mentors
and then
now.
They
mentors now. Mentors now, James.
Yeah, and then they roll out a brother who's an athlete and say, this is a role model. Anywhere in our community you walk down the street, there's a role model.
Mm-hmm.
I've been married 43 years. I have 6 kids, 20 grandkids. I'm not a role model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. Jeffries and Rosalind Jeffries have been married 51 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're not role models.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Spencer and Sam Spencer, my best friends, have been married 47 years. They have raised all their children. All of them went to school. Everybody I know nearly,
mm-hmm.
because that's how you make friends. You make friends within the context of how you see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had 12 children, married 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
All of her husbands and ex-husbands remained friends till they died.
So that's a black
I didn't know you didn't have 4 or 5 daddies.
Uh-huh.
Because they all treated me like I was their son.
Yeah.
Anywhere they saw me.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody is now trying to rewrite our historical relationships to one another and give us a false premise of how we behaved as a community.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to look back at our history and write our own history. If my mother can have 12 children, work as a cook, pay her worth to beauty culture school, come and open her beauty shop, and live to be 80-something, put all of her children through school.
Mm-hmm.
Even though her marriages didn't work, her life didn't stop, she still found mates that she could partner with and live a life with. And then to have those men operate like brothers is how African culture goes.
Right.
Now they want to tell us we never had such relationships and our lives didn't work like that. And I'm saying you need to look back at our history and not look towards white folks' rendition of our history, what they wanted our history to be. When we came, you heard Emmanuel Baraka, our beautiful poet, historian, activist, and freedom fighter, who has just joined the ancestors this week. He talked about Rosewood in Florida. That was an all-black community. They had their lawyers, doctors. They had their laundry. They had their barbershop. They had their grocery store, nightclubs, and their own school. And the white community came in and burned them down.
Right.
We know of Greenwood in Oklahoma, Black Wall Street. We had everything, banks. We had airplanes. We had things they couldn't even dream of having. And the white community came in and burned it down.
Mm-hmm.
We heard of So for people to try to pretend that we're not capable of building civilizations and society, we have to let them know. Between 1865 when slavery ended and 1929 when the stock market crashed, we, the black folks stepping out of slavery, had opened more than 100 credit unions, 50 banks, 75 insurance companies, hundreds of schools, and thousands of other businesses, and we're running our own communities until they came in with their jealousy and envy and crooked laws and prejudice and tore it down. We didn't just build civilizations in Africa. We built a civilization right here in America.
That's right.
It's called the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
We built this civilization.
Right. Right, Jane. Go on,
So we need to be thinking a little bit more critically. When you walk down the streets in Chicago or any city, look around and see if you see. Do you see anybody walking around saying, I'm a crook, written on their shirt? Do you see anybody saying, I'm a thief? You see men and women going to work every morning.
And
I see men walking
these children to school. More men now walking them to school than you see women, because most of them are out of work. But when I look out the window, I see these men. They say, where are these men? They got to be in these children's lives. I see them. Have some of them might be holding the pants up with one finger between it, but holding up with.
They walk these children. They used to call me Mr. Mom. I had two in the strollers, one strapped to my back, and one hand I was holding, taking them to school in the morning.
Well, I see black.
And there were many other brothers there with me.
And they're doing it now. I told people that we curse the babies in these children's stomachs. And no other race curse their babies. You look to the future for the future. We curse them.
That's right.
But what I found out, the ones who might have the worst on these children, ones who have not had children. I found that people who have not, women who have not had children are very deaf on these women who have children. And I've done a little studying in that, and I've looked across this country and seen what they've said. Well, these girls having all these done babies, and God said, I'll make the rock cry out. You don't want to have them? I'll make the babies have the babies. It's not the first time the babies had babies. Not that I'm condoning that a child should be having babies as a baby.
No, but all the other ethnic groups in America is having the same experience, and they're not being singled out for those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
The white community, the young ladies there, are having babies out of wedlocks when they're not having abortions, which they can afford, and they're having these babies while they're teenagers, and they're not being singled out that this is making them the negative.
Right.
The same thing in the Latino community. They're not being singled out.
No, what you
They're being given opportunities.
Right. You hear people,
to get educated.
Right. They're
being given opportunities to open businesses.
Mm-hmm.
They're being given opportunities to get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
There's something, what we've got to be clear about. I saw a study about 3 months ago talking about the ethnic groups in America. And I was shocked to learn that the largest ethnic group in America is white Germans.
Oh, yeah, that's some deep stuff.
Who populate mostly the Midwest.
And they're in the black community, James, Professor Small.
And what shocked me most was the second largest ethnic group in America is African Americans. I really didn't know our numbers were that high because they keep us such a secret, telling such a lie.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm saying, wow, And then they had the Mexicans as the third. And we know when they say Mexicans, they're counting all of Central South America.
Mm-hmm.
But the Germans are the first largest group in America.
Mm-hmm.
African Americans is the second largest group in America. And there lies the fear. The mm-hmm. fear is if you let the second largest group,
mm-hmm.
the African American, who has the building civilization because we built yours,
mm-hmm.
and we built all the ones you model any of yours after, then you will no longer be in the driver's seat.
Uh-huh.
So there was a war declared against us long before we came to America, but the law in America escalated after the killing of Dr. King.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
See, people don't understand. Dr. King wasn't killed by some little single white man who was deranged.
Mm-mm.
You know, in the end, that man tried to tell the truth, and they killed him.
Right.
And
he just have a dream.
Once they killed Dr. King, they said, what we got to do is destroy the black youth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at what began to occur after the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King, whose birthday is coming up in a minute,
mm-hmm.
if you look at what occurred, you'll see the drug flow into the black community.
Right.
You'll see the criminalization in the media of black youth begin to go rev up 100%. You
mm-hmm.
see the educational system, especially in the major cities where large numbers were,
mm-hmm.
begin to struggle to change curricula and to fight to keep those people from knowing about their own history and their own self. If our history was nothing, let us learn it then.
Right. Why
is this fight to keep us from knowing what we've done, how we did it, and why we did it?
And not only that, Professor, this educational curriculum making sure that we are not mainstreaming technology and other things, and they
That's
have
right.
really taken
Take the math out of the school.
Right.
Take the science out of our schools. Take the music out of our schools.
Mm-hmm. Sports, music, art, all that stuff is out of our schools. Just have stress. You're so stressed out, you know, you just stressed out, and you got most of the youth now, little white teachers are teaching them who just got out of school. There's no, it's really something that's going. That's,
they have a special program called Something for America that they're training these white people to come into our community.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them don't even have background in education. They
mm-hmm.
studied everything else, and there's no jobs for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they retract them. It's a white woman that runs it. It's called Something for America.
Mm-hmm.
And they're putting
Teach
these people
for America.
In our school.
Teach for America.
Teach for America.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second piece they did, when they founded that teachers union under Al Shanker, the UFT, the primary mission of the United Federation of Teachers was to push the black spirit parent out of the school system.
Right.
That was their major job.
Yeah, you can't go up in there now. You cannot go up in those schools as a parent.
That's right. That was their major success, to separate the black parents from the school system so that they could have total control over
mm-hmm.
destroying the minds of our children.
Well, you know, they came up with this promotional, this age promotion. I might be saying it wrong. Well, teach out that they can call in and tell me. Well, they kept these children. They didn't teach them anything, and they kept them until they got a certain age, and they couldn't stay in the elementary school.
Yes,
and they
I worked in such a system, and I fought against it, and they fired me.
Yeah.
And I was working for the Catholic Archdiocese in the youth home.
Uh-huh.
And that's still going on across the country.
Right. So they
somebody actually did a program on it recently on one of the TV news stations.
Well, let me know, because I'm going to talk to you later. I'd like to see that. But I don't know, when they pushed these youth into high school and they could not read and write, and then they pushed them on the street and they put them in the jail.
Right.
I mean,
well, I'd like to make this comparison, Dorothy Tillman.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see the mayor and the leaders of Chicago condone Jewish students being taught by Nazis. Now, I'd like to see them condone that.
You know better than
that. I'd like to see them say that would have been all right.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see them tell me that all those Jewish people who suffered and died in that Holocaust
mm-hmm.
were better off under the Nazis' control.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear them say that, because that's what they're saying to us.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And they dare not say that, because that community will rise up and wipe them out.
Of course they will.
And so we need to take some lessons. You don't have to always be friends with somebody to learn from that somebody.
Right.
You have to study other people's struggle and then borrow the best from their struggle and bring it to work in your struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. King looked at Gandhi. Gandhi wasn't the best guy. He wasn't good in some things.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some things he did real good.
Right.
And that part of it. And put it to work for us. you know? Mm-hmm. And so we have to learn to do the same thing. I don't disrespect the Jewish community. I praise them. Anybody who can come up from under that hell and say never again and protect themselves and educate their children and protect their community, we need to learn a lesson from that.
Well, this one closed.
And for those leadership of Chicago that would tell us that we need to send our children to the most racist people and then turn our backs on what they're doing to our children. Then blame our children for not learning in school. Blame them for nothing. You got thousands and thousands of cops, and you're going to tell me the streets are not safe. You're spending billions of dollars on law enforcement, but you can't protect one neighborhood. Give me a break.
Look, and they closed 50 schools in the city, and now they're giving private money to open up other schools, charter schools. But they closed 50 of our children's schools, our kids out here walking around in the street. It's just terrible what have happened. But
and opening charter schools run by the same community that practiced the racism and segregation against us, by the same community that have no respect for our history, by the same community that won't even acknowledge we have a culture. And then and then having those people make profit off of miseducating our children and dump them back in the street prepared for the prison system so they can make more money off of them. This is chattel slavery in the 21st century.
It is that, Jack. You know, and the other thing is, that within our school system, we used to have 40% black teachers in this system in Chicago. We have 10% now. You go from 40 to 10. Something is wrong with that. Something is very, very wrong with that.
Well, what we have to do, there's only one institution in our community, really two, probably three, but primarily two, that has the capability to help us turn this thing around immediately. Except they got to be called to task. We talked about them before.
Okay.
The first one is the black churches.
Right.
And the second is the black lodge, the Eastern Star and the Freemason. Those three institutions got the capacity, they got the capability to turn this thing around by allowing those institutions that they have developed, that we have developed with those leadership, to be used as an alternative or a supplement to the education of black children. And the degree to which they are not participating in the liberation of our people is the degree to which this destruction goes unabated.
Well,
it's no accident that all of our leaders were ministers. All of them there
ministers. And that's why the government,
ministers. Go ahead.
That's why the government attacked. They said the ministers, the music, the youth. They came after our minister, our music, and our youth. Last week I was saying that when I had Dr. Newton on, we was talking about our fraternities and our sororities and all our churches. They've gotten to be one big party. It's a party now. It's a party. And that's not why they came into existence. Even the Greek organizations have no business doing what they're doing. The part, I'm a this, I'm a that. No, you came into existence for the good of the black community.
And they're just stomping around and drinking, you know. So we have to call them to question, though. I don't care what the denomination. You got 50 different denominations. All say they follow Christ, but none of them speak to one another. Which Christ are they following?
I don't know. They say they want to be Christ-like because Christ was a title. They say they want to be Christ-like. One person close to Christ-like I know was Dr. King and a lot of other ministers. So they don't want to be Christ-like. It's like there's a fear. Once they shot Dr. King in the head, Professor, there was a fear. These folks, and we went into a praise and prosperity. We went from the liberation and black theology to praise and prosperity.
We went to have I heard Creflo Dollar said yesterday, I don't want to go to heaven broke with no money in my pocket.
Oh, my God.
What kind of ridiculous foolishness is that? But this is the minister. I don't want to go to heaven broke with no money in my pocket. And so
I keep saying it to you. He keeps saying I don't want to. Not we. Yeah. It's like you said when God created earth, he said, let us make man, right? I don't want to go to heaven without no money in my pocket. I don't care now about you not being able to get this chicken or liver down here and have a decent school and be able to be, but I don't want to go, so y'all drop that money.
Right now, we have enough money to transform the African-American community. Last year, the African-American community spent nearly $1 trillion. Mm-hmm. Brother Claude Anderson told us very clearly, unless we aggregate that money, bring it together, it is useless. It's mm-hmm. just like we didn't spend a dollar. Mm-hmm. And so we need to really study the work of Claude Anderson.
Uh-huh.
We need to look at his research
mm-hmm.
and understand that the black community have the money. Why are we spending money with other ethnic groups that spend no money with us?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we spending money at grocery stores, at beauty shops that we can't even work in?
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with us?
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with us is that we have no respect for our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
That's what has been taken away.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't respect the womb you came out of, how can you protect the womb you came out of?
Well,
or how can you protect the womb that you're giving birth with?
Okay, I got this phone. My bank's a call of 773-5969 is lit up. But I had something else I wanted to play. I don't know how many minutes it is. When you talked about the
yes,
dope
ma'am.
And stuff, I want to, one of your teachers, I want to play his, Dr. Clark, I want to play this. You got it ready? If not, I'm going to go to the phone. Okay, this is Dr. Clark, professor.
Mm-hmm.
I want Dr. Clark.
City police don't know about because they have policemen in there. They don't let black people form anything without some policemen in there. And while I was in the black Muslim movement, over the black Muslim movement, many of the police who were sent to infiltrate us, they're black, would tell me, say, look, I'm a cop, but I have to come. They would tell me. I knew the Muslim movement was full of police. So don't you think anything is going down that they don't know about? The only thing that goes down is what they want to go down. And what they don't want to go down, they don't let it go down.
Something else was used against the students that drove the final nails into the coffin, killing the movement.
What stopped it, of course, almost dead in its track, and not by any accident, was a widespread and deliberately organized widespread use of drugs. The fact that a decision was made, and I think you, most of you familiar with the broadcast of the mafia defector who went on public media to declare what happened and outline in great detail the great plan of how to destroy the black youth of the nation, starting in New York. He said in a meeting 20 miles outside of New York City, the great decision was made. He said he didn't have to guess about it, and those who heard him know that I'm quoting him almost verbatim because he was there. And the decision was to concentrate the distribution of drugs on the black youth of the nation, starting in New York.
I tell you, starting in New York, I had the pleasure of one of both of your teachers.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And we know, you know, that it was documented because we had Maxine Waters and others out of California going before the Congress mm-hmm. and documented how the CIA was running the crack trade
mm-hmm.
and how they introduced the crack trade. You had the man, Freeway, whatever the boy named in California, who they hired as one of the lead players, testified before the Mercury News newspaper and outlined how he was brought in by the U.S. government to set up the crack operation in California.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Oliver North, that Lieutenant or Colonel Oliver North of the U.S. Marine Corps, went to prison
mm-hmm.
for smuggling drugs in from South America and to sell in the black community to raise money to buy guns from Iran to give to the Contra, the right-wing groups that they wanted to in Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm.
And these planes were being flown into Arkansas National Guard base under the watch of Bill Clinton. So
mm-hmm.
come on, people. Yeah. This is news. Now, that same Oliver North is out of prison. That same dope dealer got his own television show.
And we still have the drugs coming from Afghanistan, Mexico, their way into our community.
Oh, the biggest commodity coming out of Afghanistan is drugs. You go in
Afghanistan and Mexico.
And all those soldiers and all those bombs, but you can't stop the heroin trade coming out of Afghanistan. And then I've heard the government people say they have to, they didn't want to destroy the poppy crop because that's their only income. The income off of what? The heroin that's ending up in our doorstep under the control and the protection of the military of the United States of America.
While we are right here waging war on ourselves, not understanding that we are the only, we're the only group in this country that America has consistently created laws to keep down and keep under and to try to destroy us. I got like a half an hour, James, maybe 25 minutes. What I want to do, and I wanted to play that, and I wanted our people to know that what's going on with us right now is being orchestrated. They always have been, and it's continuing to be that to keep us down. But I want to take just a few calls, and I'm going to take so write, get your pencil and write them down. I'm going to take three questions. You got a question for Professor Small, not a long statement, and he's going to answer all three at one time. I'm going to take them in threes.
Okay.
Tony, how you doing this morning?
Yes, good morning, Alderman Tillman, Maceo. Good morning.
Oh, they had Tony up there, Maceo. I'm sorry, they had your name Tony. I just saw Tony. Okay, Maceo.
Oh, that's okay. Good morning, Professor Professor Smalls. Professor Smalls, we have been so inundated, saturated, inculcated with white culture through the media that we have, and specifically our children, have been the accepting of those depictions of our people, of ourselves as side men and side women, literally what Ralph Ellison says in his title, The Invisible Man, The Invisible Woman, The Invisible Child. Now, I agree with you 100% that our history from the beginning of humanity to the great civilizations to the present are paramount. And the thing is, to me...
Ask a question, Maceo, because I ain't got about a few minutes and the board is lit up.
In reference to one of our great historians, Dr. Yosef Alfred Antonio Ben-Yakinen, I'd like to know how is he doing, and also to let our audience know that these men, these women have put out great works, and why aren't they being read? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Hold on to that, Professor. We'll get to that question. Please, y'all, go directly to the questions because we do have to do what we got to do here. Pam.
Hi, Professor Small. Hello, Alderman Tillman. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Good morning. The question, regarding culture and purpose, what is the best way to communicate that information to our young people? Not only our young people in the school, but Professor Small, I'm trying to have conversations with young people on the streets and on the corners because that's the kind of effort it is going to take. You can't always get young people to a mentoring program.
Okay.
So sometimes we have to meet them where they are.
So you,
what is the message you can communicate about purpose and culture? Some of our young people...
Thank you, Pam. He's going to answer you, Pam. Pam, he's going to answer you. I'm going to take one more call, Jamie. You answer three, and then I'm taking them in threes, and the rest of you stay on the line. 773-591-1690. Cheryl.
Good morning, Mrs. Tillman, and
good morning
to Professor Small. Thank you for taking this call. Good morning. I really want to ask you three things. Do we have to repeat Oliver Twist? Do we have to repeat The Merchant of Venice? Do we have to repeat the Seminoles and the Creek, Steve Biko? That's all I want to know. Can you answer that?
Well, James, that ended on a good note. You got three of them. Let's go.
Yeah. You know, first, tell about Dr. Ben is doing fine. We just celebrated his 96th birthday. And, yes, everyone should read one of his 40-plus books. On the second question, culture, how do we communicate it? We have to use every tool we have, all of the social media. I'm on Facebook every single day. I have over 5,000 young people that I communicate with, and they text message me, and they ask questions. We can use that. That's one medium. The other is to, if we are not at work and we have time, we need to go to the school in the morning, take our children to school, and be there and help look out for the other children. When school closes in the afternoon, and I used to do this when my children was young, go to that school and be there. Just the presence of black parents around the school will stop a lot of what's going on. Mm-hmm. If we could just do that, if we can go through the community and the places where we know people need are homeless and let our young people see us setting up food banks, just small food banks. Now, I'm talking about a table on a corner where we're serving hot drinks to
the
homeless
Black Panthers,
people.
The Black Panthers set up breakfast programs, and all Black Panthers set up
right.
breakfast programs.
Those are the kinds of things we can communicate through our behavior.
But also, Professor, we have like the Harold Washington Culture Center. We work with the youth off the street and on the stage. I mean, and that's why they're fighting us so hard, they're really fighting us real hard about our theater. Only Black theater that large and that capacity community theater in the country. And we are teaching
right.
them
and
off the street on the stage.
And that theater should be supported. If the Black community is really concerned, saying we're going to take our stand, this is our, what they call, Alamo.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take our stands at the Harold Washington Community Center. This is our Alamo.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we're going to rally. Mm-hmm. We got enough Black people in Chicago, Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
If they all came, those who are concerned, mm-hmm. and gave $50, they would solve all the problem of the Harold Washington Cultural Center. We've got to decide
mm-hmm.
that we want to live.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in dying. When death comes, I have no control over that. I was put here not to die. I was put here to live until I die.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to fulfill our role to live and be productive.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God put us here.
Uh-huh.
And we need to act in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
We have given up our God and replaced it with the white man.
Uh-huh.
We've made the white man and his way of life our God and his way of life our religion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And until we change that, we're in trouble.
And the Spirit, you know? The Spirit and God have been the one that brought us over. You know, we were talking
that,
about...
That we are a God people, and that's what he struggled to take away from us.
Right.
That's why we got churches, but we don't have ministers.
Uh-huh.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we have entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
We have businessmen. We have hustlers. We have cowards standing up in our pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to demand that I came to this church and became a part of this community to have a community.
Mm-hmm.
And a community's job is to organize and protect a group of people.
Right.
And to elevate them.
Right.
And if that community you go in and call a church doesn't do that, then you need to have the leadership removed and put a leadership in there, including yourself, that will do that.
Well, Dr. King said that sometimes so-called, quote-unquote, people use Jesus and God to be cowards. They have that. God's going to fix it. God's going to do it. This and that. Bring your money, but God's going to do it. I don't have to do nothing. Dr. King said there's something wrong with a religion like that. Something wrong with his God don't say that. And Dr. King got a long
right.
speech where he talks about how ministers bring the congregation. They begin to use God and Jesus as an excuse to be a coward. And
if that minister roll up to that church in his big car, and he lives in a big house, and his parishioners going to the prison every week. They need to walk out of that church and go to a church that will help them learn from the wisdom of the Bible how to organize themselves. Because one thing, as much as Christianity has been misused, Christianity started out as a Black religion that
mm-hmm.
was designed to elevate people to a more godly space.
Uh-huh.
Now, we have turned it in by following the white folks' rendition of it into an ungodly space.
With a white Jesus and all that, uh-huh, uh-huh.
And the same thing with Islam. Islam started out as a Black religion
mm-hmm.
to raise Black people to a higher, more godly state. And then the Turks and the Arabs and the whites took it over and turned it into a negative.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look and study our documents that we call sacred, and we need to bring it back on course. That's why African-American and African history is essential to help us put our culture in place. See, when you say culture, people think about African clothing
mm-hmm.
or drumming or music. Those are tools.
Uh-huh.
Those are not culture.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have a single piece of African clothing and you didn't have a single drum, you still have culture.
Mm-hmm.
Culture is your values. Culture
mm-hmm.
is your belief. Culture is your historical experience being understood. Culture is your understanding of your relationship to God.
Mm-hmm.
Culture is your motivation to develop your family in a positive, significant way.
Mm-hmm.
Culture is how you protect and how you love the ones who love and protect you. That's
mm-hmm.
what culture is about.
Mm-hmm.
You may use theater to dramatize it. You may use music to spread it. You may use dance to demonstrate it. But those are tools of culture,
mm-hmm.
and they're important tools. Mm-hmm. But culture is the value system. Culture is the belief system. Culture is your understanding of reality. Culture is the things that motivate you to elevate you. And when people take that away from you, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and we're in trouble because we've allowed someone else to take that away from us while they're developing that among themselves.
And using our music and everything to get rich off of it. They're taking over our music.
Absolutely.
And everything. She also said, do we repeat the, someone said, do we repeat the olive tree? She gave
the sister, the third liner says, do we repeat? I don't know all those stories. I didn't study white history very well.
Okay.
But Stephen Biko, I do know. We need to repeat Stephen Biko. We don't need to let them repeat what they did to Stephen Biko. But Stephen Biko, while Nelson Mandela was in prison, Stephen Biko was the one that raised the black consciousness movement in South Africa. He's the one that caused the youth of South Africa to rise up.
Right,
he's the one that said the greatest weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed.
Oh my
the
God.
Greatest weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. Mm-hmm. And he was murdered like Dr. King and Malcolm and Medgar for standing up and leading the black youth of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We need more Stephen Biko.
Right, and he worked right
We need
right
more
here.
Dr. King. We need more Malcolm X.
Right.
We need more Mega X. And we've got them.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to give direction to them with our history
and,
our culture.
And group of us are going to get together and try to figure out how to do that this year, too. Right, James? But now also Winnie worked very closely with Stephen Biko, too. She was one of the ones
absolutely. Sister Winnie Mandela, we can never forget her because for 27 years Nelson was in prison, somebody was leading the movement against apartheid, and that somebody was Winnie Mandela, Stephen Biko, and other young people.
Okay, well, let me
say. And there's a man in Chicago we can never forget. You know, he lived right in your town. We call him the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Right.
And we pay him no attention. Yet that man built the biggest organization of redemptive black male. He took what the society had ragged, torn up, thrown to the gutters.
Right.
And he says, I'm going to show you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take history. I'm going to take culture. I'm going to take spirituality and use it in the format of Islam. And I'm going to raise up what you have thrown to the gutters and make them the best men and women in my community. And we're not even looking at it.
We got to look at it all.
My God.
We got to do it. And we can do it. I feel very, I don't feel all down because I know we got to do it.
Every day you have a good time being black, Sister Tillman, let me tell you.
I know.
I'm just enjoying being black, and I'm just enjoying the struggle. I understand the nature of God in me. And when I tell people I'm God having a human experience, they need to read the Bible.
I tell you.
That same Bible you got. Say that you are God having a human experience.
That's
that same Bible you got. Even Christ says we're all the sons of God.
Uh-huh.
That same Bible you got. Christ and many of the disciples says God is within you.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't think that's a foreign statement. It's in the very document that you claim you're following. But what you got to do is read the book.
Well, okay,
you got to read the book. You can't just carry it in your hands every Sunday.
That's
you
right.
got to read it.
So read the book.
And learn.
You have
and then
it.
You'll see.
Read
that
the book.
That's standing in front of you. Use the Bible as a litmus test. If those who are standing in the pulpit is not doing what that book instructed, remove them from your pulpit and put somebody out there who will do it.
Dr. King says someone used it to enslave black people. Let me take a couple more calls, and I'm going to say, I'm not black enough for you right behind those. Take two more calls, and then you just write them down, James, 773-591-1690. We got 15 more minutes, y'all, to have a professor to teach. We never have enough time for him, but I'm glad to have gotten him back because he just got back from Ghana. Rick, question for Professor?
Hey, Dorothy, I made me call to tell y'all that I love this program. I love the topic that y'all on today. And the stuff y'all teaching today, we need to start getting out a little bit more, especially for the middle age around my age and for the young people, you know, because there's a lot of helpful kind of stuff that we learned today.
Thank you, Jay. That's what I try to do, Rick, is bring the teachers here for you. On Saturday morning, I can't say what nobody else do, but this is what I try to do every Saturday. Thanks, Rick. Yolanda. Yolanda?
Oh, yes, good morning. Good morning, my sister. Good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
Good morning, sister.
Yes, you all somewhat hit on my question about
Nelson Mandela, you know, he went all up into the mountains and things. He tried to bring all his people together, all of us together, after being incarcerated for so many of years. Why can't we as a group of people get together for our children, with our children, and try to bring our children up in our history and teach them the things that we should know?
Okay.
And where can we put them in good mentoring programs at? That's what I want to
thank you. And also, James, one of the callers want to know how to find you, your bio, and everything, too. So make sure you say that.
Okay.
Okay, okay, James, can you answer? Because we got about 7 more minutes left here.
Mm-hmm.
Can you answer that question? Go and answer her question.
Yes, ma'am, for Sister Yolanda. Yeah. Well, Nelson.
And the first one didn't have a question. The first one gave a compliment.
Right, and it was a compliment, and I thank them for that. What we got to do, Sister Yolanda, is every household got to be willing to open their living room on Saturdays and Sundays, and in the evening where they can, as study after-school programs for the children in our community. If each of us took 3 or 4 children and mentor them in our history and help them with their math and the science, if we couldn't do it every day, if we could do it just on Saturdays, every living room in the black community becomes a school.
And the churches can open, and the churches can open up their doors, too.
Yes, that would be the next thing. That would be an alternative if the churches don't do what they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us who feel this way come together, march on Saturday down to the Harold Washington Center and say, we've come to help y'all.
Mm-hmm.
We've come to help y'all. And we'll come and we'll bring our children and we'll help you set up the best mentoring program in the United States of America. But we better, you want to teach our kids in school? You want to kill them, or we going to stand between the bullet and the children?
And if they want,
so the best way to do that is to set up after schools, set up Saturday classes, mentor our kids in the science and the math,
mm-hmm.
mentor them in their reading and writing,
mm-hmm.
mentor them in their history and their morals and ethical behavior policies. You can do that in a few hours every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beginning to do it with a group of brothers here in New Rochelle, New York. We call ourselves a gathering of men,
mm-hmm.
and it's beginning to take off.
Well, you've been doing that quite a bit, James, with the Sons of God.
The Sons of Africa. But now I'm in a new city. I'm not in New York City, so I said to myself, I'm not going to live in no town if there ain't no black stuff around.
Well, look.
So we started a whole new game up here.
Well, people need to know that.
The program, the first time they've ever had a Kwanzaa program in this town of New Rochelle.
Well, they had a question.
Came out.
They had a question here on this station. Do you think we've overdone Kwanzaa, that Kwanzaa's obsolete? But
we haven't done Kwanzaa enough.
Well, anyway.
We need more Kwanzaa. We need to take Dr. King's birthday to another level.
Yeah.
See,
well, I got 6 minutes, James. I got 5 minutes. I'm going to have to get off the air in a second. So I want to, the callers want to know where they can find your bio, where they can get some of your teaching, your tapes.
They can go online and just put in Professor Dame Small African World, or they can just put in Professor Dame Small, and my bio is all over the place.
And if they want some of your teaching, your tapes and stuff, they can order some, right?
Yes, go to Professor Dame Small African World. My tapes and videos are there. Or they can go to menofrespect.com.
Menofrespect.com. Well, look, Jay, let me try to take.
Menofrespect.com.
I got like 4 minutes, and I'm going to have to get off this air.
Let's take at least one more question.
I'm going to try to take it, and they got to be real brief. They got 30 seconds. Ms. Huntington.
Dr. Small, I don't have a question.
Yes.
I just want to thank you for your teaching and your guidance.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
This has really been a great day. I don't know if I can take this other call or not. I was going to try and take it. One more call. I might not be able to. I'm looking at my engineer. But anyway, James, Professor, we will have you back, and we'll be talking because there's a group of us who are going to try to go away and see if we can lay out something. We can move our youth. I thank you for the energy that you gave us this morning so that black folks they can stop blaming ourselves, because when you blame yourself, you turn on yourself. I will have you back. I'm going to have you back real soon because the audience love you. Now, once again, tell us
tell them what you say. You're black. Tell them black is back.
Black is back, black. Now, what to reach you again? Men'sOfRespect.com. What else now? Men'sOfRespect.com.
Yeah, Professor SmallAfricanWorld.com.
ProfessorSmallAfricanWorld.com and MensOfRespect.com. This is a, hold on, Professor. This is Dorothy Wright Timmer. You've been listening to Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON. This has been Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me right here in Chicago. Every Saturday from 6 to 8, you can wake up. If you missed this program, you can go back to Block Talk or type in Coffee, Tea. Dorothy Tillman, and you can listen, and you can listen back. We will have Dr. Small back on. Until then, I'll see you next week, 6 o'clock. Wake up, y'all. I'm like fine wine, 6 to 8 every Saturday morning. Until then, reparations now.
Brutality in this slavery industry is this nation's foundation of economy. What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction. They cut children from
if you want,
guts to
if y'all want to support the Harold Washington Culture Center, go down to Seaway Bank and put something in on the Harold Washington Culture Center. I'll call
773-373-1900. Mr. President, I'm here to represent for mine and for the Africa in which you raped and left behind, draining her natural resource. So to her people pay remorse or feel the force of a former slave. Kidnapped from my land, locked in chain, brought to a new world to maintain. Hard to survive while my kind's being hanged. Is it over now?
I'm a former slave. I've been shackled and locked in chain, girl. But somehow my soul remains. But is it over?
Tell your business, beat me till defenseless. You did this for 400 plus, and the bottom of your ships and at the back of your bus, you'll find us with a black face embedded in stuff. Survivor us of America's clutch. Enough is enough. Give us our just due. Just shoot it in villains. If we configured for every crime that was committed and every bigot that got acquitted, and meanwhile and on exhibit was a black neck from a tree, we'd probably be millionaires, equal share across the board, able to afford to rebuild and restore. Ignored was a black slave put to death with promised land on his mind and free on his breath. It's only correct, America, you cut us a check with a whip, wound and flesh, and the disrespect for every black that was strapped with whips, for every piece of cotton picked till our fingertips turned bloody, bigger than money. Reparations is about compensation. It's time that you made the way for your slave occupation. Most of the poverty was built by us. Every stoplight and peanut gallery built by us. Everything you think they did, it was built by us.
Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation, 1690 W.